Our scripture today is from Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank our brother in Christ for sharing the word of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. Would you please join with me in an attitude of prayer? Thank you, Lord, for this day that you have given us, for how you continue to be at work in our lives. Thank you as well for the word of Scripture that you've given us and how you continue to speak through it. Keep us open now to your love, to your grace, to your power and truth. And it's in the name of Christ, our risen Savior, that we pray. Amen. Go ahead and find somebody next in the next 15 seconds that you'd like to look at and say something to. Now watch what you say. I'm going to tell you what to say, okay? I know you were saying, boy, this is the opening, and in church of all places. Now I want you to go ahead and look at somebody for the next 15 seconds. Don't look at me, and just go ahead and tell them, God loves you, and I'm trying. And I'm trying. I've had you say that to one another before, because actually, I think that should be on a banner in the church. I mean, I really do. That is a true statement of faith, whenever you think about it. God loves you. That's a reality. I'm trying, really. I'm trying my best. Some days I do better than others, and some days I say things better than other days, and some days my actions really convey God's love better than other days, and so I'm trying, but you know what? I'm going to fail too. I'm not always going to get it right. And for us, that's an honest prayer. God, I'm going to screw it up, and yet you still love me, and you can work your love through me. What's that prayer that says, Lord, I haven't misspoken today. I haven't caused anybody else harm. I haven't damaged somebody else. I haven't said something I shouldn't. Goes on and on and on. But I'm about ready to get out of bed, Lord, so help me for the rest of the day. That's a true statement as well. Banners on each side of the church just saying those, proclaiming that truth. And whenever we read those, and whenever we hear those, certainly it's funny. But it also speaks about God's grace, and God's grace powerfully at work. That's what we depend on. In fact, it's God's grace that defines us. I want you to hear that once again. It's God's grace that defines us. Now, not only is that encouraging, but it is a reminder that we don't have to do this on our own. A scripture reading from 2 Corinthians. At the very end of this letter of Paul, speaks a word of hope. Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Paul is speaking here, writing. Agree with one another. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. I'm not saying do that right now. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. How often do we use that phrase in one way or another in our worship? God the Father, Christ the Son, the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I use that as an ordained minister often in services of death and resurrection, in weddings, in baptisms. You've heard that. And sometimes it's kind of like the Lord's Prayer. It sort of rolls out of us and rolls off of our tongue. We don't necessarily think of the power conveyed in that. The candle with the three wicks, the three in one, the Trinity. It's Trinity Sunday. And if you thought that there are churches that kind of blew over Pentecost Sunday, there's even more that just kind of skip by Trinity Sunday. Why? Because it's difficult to understand. God in three forms: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. However we've learned it, however we've shared that growing up in our faith traditions. We understand God, our Heavenly Father, Abba. I shared a scripture passage at the beginning from Romans, Paul again, writing, reminding those in the early church and also in the church today, the present church, that God is our Father. God is our Father in the best way possible. God is our Father in a nurturing way, in a caring way, in a way of great love and power, in a way that we can trust and know that we can count on Him. I remember taking a trip with my dad to Virginia to visit his parents, and I was little boy, and I was kind of tired on the trip, and you know, he said, well, go ahead and lie down in the back seat, and he covered me up. It was just me and my dad, and it was kind of a cool thing, just me and my dad on the road, on an adventure. And you know what? I trusted him to be able to go to sleep in the back seat and know that we were going to end up at Grandma and Grandpa's house, know that we were going to end up at the destination. We can trust God in that same way, knowing that as we really do put our trust in Him, we're going to end up where we need to be. Maybe it's not where we thought we should be. Those are two different things, friends. It might not be our agenda, but it's certainly, as we humble ourselves before God, going to be about His agenda, His work, His plans for our lives. In the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, our namesake, the one in whom we claim a connection through the cross, through the resurrection, the one who has given us a very clear guideline to be able to follow in our lives, not only in the gospel, but also in how we see it in one another. Now, certainly, in the gospel, Christ is very clear in His actions, in His teachings, how we are called to be like Him. You see, I've shared this before in worship, but I believe that the Christ is not simply our Savior, the one who has given us a whole new way of living with God, a whole new way of experiencing God's love, but also an example. And do you see that? I mean, He is an example in how He dealt with people and what He shared with other people and His teachings. That's something that we can follow. It helps us to be able to know how to interact with one another. Whenever you hear that phrase, being Christ-like, it doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect. I'm sorry to break that news to you. But we are called to follow Him and have that example, at least, to be able to step forward into. The scripture reading today that our brother offered is one that is familiar. It's often been called the Great Commission, because it speaks of what we are called to do. And very clearly, this is information that we are called to take with us from this day forward. Now, before we get to the Great Commission, I just wanted to point out that earlier in chapter 27, actually, Jesus goes through the crucifixion. You see, that understanding of what happened on the cross and also God's grace and also God's love go hand in hand. So the crucifixion is fresh in the minds of everyone that's involved in this scripture passage for this morning. And in fact, in the Gospel of Matthew, it goes from the crucifixion to the death of Jesus, to the burial of Jesus. This isn't Easter Sunday. I'm going to get to Trinity Sunday. Hold on just a second. To the guard at the tomb, and then the resurrection of Jesus, and then the report of the guard, and then the commissioning of the disciples. It kind of jumps right to this this time of empowering that God wants to work through His Son to the disciples. It brings us to these words that we've heard today. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. You understand, or you should understand, that in Hebrew literature and also in the Hebrew scripture, mountains always have a place of power. Where did Moses receive the Ten Commandments? On the mountain. We continue to be pointed towards the mountain in Scripture. So here again, we know that's kind of a key to knowing something big is going to happen here. They went to the mountaintop. When they saw him, they worshiped him. And then the second part of verse 17, but some doubted. Seeing Jesus right there, being called by him, understanding that what he had said to prepare them for this had happened, that he could be trusted, his words could be trusted, but more so, he was right there in front of them, and they still doubted, some still doubted, reminds us that we are called to encourage one another. Have you ever been frustrated with someone? No, that's amazing. The majority of you have never been frustrated with someone. Well, okay, you can leave. You got it. You got this Christ-like thing. Have you ever been frustrated with somebody? Okay, I got it. And they're looking at me right now. I don't appreciate that. If you've ever been frustrated with somebody, what happens is that you feel as though, okay, this person should be over this loss. This person should be past this difficulty. This person should be moving on from this challenge. And you want to put them in your time frame, but it really isn't about that. It's again about God's timing and God's agenda for their life and how God is defining them. We are simply a channel of God's grace. Therefore, if there are those in the faith community who have doubt from time to time about God's presence in their life, about if God really loves them or if God is at work in their lives, are we called to encourage them? Absolutely. Are we called to continue to be with them on the journey? Absolutely. Are we called to be present and sometimes simply listen? And even as the frustration is welling up in us and we just want to grab them by the ears and say, don't you get it yet? Don't do that. Don't grab anybody by the ears and say, don't you get it yet? Listen. Be present. Allow that presence of God that is churning in you to speak to them in some way. Oftentimes, it's just simply in listening that we carry out the Great Commission. Listen, hear that. Sometimes it's in the listening, in our presence, that we carry out the Great Commission. You know, we understand this Great Commission is something where, well, we go out and we preach the good news, but there's that phrase that says, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. For us, sometimes simply spending time, simply allowing our schedule to be adjusted, maybe even if we want to say it's screwed up, to be with someone else, that, my friends, is sharing the good news. Be encouraged in that. And be encouraging of one another, so that even when there is doubt in the church, and there were doubt within the disciples, we can encourage one another to recognize Christ is alive and risen. God is at work in our lives, and the Holy Spirit is at work as well. Jesus said to them, right after it says, some doubted, right after it says, some doubted, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus says. This is the man who was tempted directly by the devil. This is the man who was whipped and beaten. This is the man who was hung on the cross just like a common criminal. This is the man, however, also that was risen from the grave and resurrected. This is the Son of God. All authority, he says, I have conquered death. And now with that same power that God conquered death through me, I offer that power to you to be able to share the good news in my name, to be able to point to God in what you do and say, and to be able to also offer the Holy Spirit as a sign of grace and peace in the world. That's a lot. You're not always going to get it right. As modern day disciples, we're not always going to get it right. And we're going to miss opportunities. There have been individuals who've shared with me, you know, oh, I should have prayed with that person. Oh, I should have talked to that person. Or maybe I should have spoke up in that situation. That's okay. You're not always going to get it right. But one thing you do need to do is understand that God's power is at work in you. Since Christ was raised, since we can trust in the resurrection, since we know it's real and it's a fact, and since we know that we are people of the resurrection, therefore, God's power is at work in us and through us. Now it says, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Why is it important to be familiar with the Bible? Why is it important to be able to look at that, to be able to study it? It's because we can pull from it as a resource. It's not something that we're simply called to spout by memory, although memorizing scripture is great. It's not simply that we're supposed to spout to show how much we know. It's so that we can share the word and point to God in that sharing. Those scripture passages that I read earlier from 2 Corinthians, from Romans, those come from letters to the early church by Paul. And he was pointing towards scripture in those as well, in authority and also in a word of encouragement to remind all that would read those letters, and that means us today, that the word of God is God speaking, is alive and well. Not simply ink on paper, but something that speaks to God's presence in our very midst today. Going out into the world, recognizing that because Christ is risen, we have an authority through God. We have a power through God. And when we use it in humble ways, in ways of love, the world truly can be changed. What a wonderful opportunity for us today. Understanding we don't go alone. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit also are part of what we take out into the world. And so I'd like you to be thinking about that today. Thinking about that specifically today. Who has sent you? It's God. In whose name do you go? Jesus Christ. And what power is behind you as you go from this place and in you? The Holy Spirit. My friends, if you don't feel like you're ready to be disciples, God's probably already working through you. God does not call the equipped. He equips the called. And each and every one of us here is called to share how God is at work in our lives. In our time of reflection right now, I'd like us to think, as you hear the music playing, just consider this. Who has called you? It's God. Whose name do you go in? Jesus Christ. And what is washing over you and filling you and speaking through you? God's Holy Spirit. You don't go alone as disciples, my friends. You go ready to share with the world the great news of God's grace and love. Pray right now and open yourself to God's presence.